This episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast with Sydney McLaughlin is presented by Compassion International. They have been amazing partners with us here at Sports Spectrum, and the work that they do releasing children from poverty is second to none. It's so important, and they do it in Jesus' name, Christ-centered. And I mean, the programs that Compassion has put together for these children are just incredible. You need to go check them out. It's at fillthestadium.com is the website, fillthestadium.com. And that's a program that Compassion's working on right now with our pro football friends, our pro athlete friends, to help fill a stadium of kids in crisis, a stadium of 70,000 kids that are in need of urgent support. Now, we've been doing this for over a year now, about a year and a half, and we're almost there. The 70,000 seats, the 70,000 kids, man, we're almost there. I mean, we're just a couple thousand away from filling this stadium, but it's still a few kids that cannot remain stuck in this crisis. So we need your help. Check out fillthestadium.com and help restore what COVID-19 destroyed: essential food, medical care, support for a child and their family during this pandemic. Again, the website for Compassion International is fillthestadium.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome everyone to the show. I am Jason Romano. This is the Sports Spectrum podcast. We're so glad you're tuning in to the program today, to the podcast today. We got an amazing guest, Sydney McLaughlin, the two-time USA Olympic gold medalist and track and field athlete, the world record holder in the 400-meter hurdles. Sydney's story is amazing, and she goes there. She goes pretty deep into her newfound faith in Jesus. She's grew up in a Christian home, but it's really just been the last few years where she surrendered her life to Christ, and she shares about that so eloquently on the show today. Before we get to Sydney, I want to direct you to our website, sportspectrum.com. That is the home base for all of our content. See, we bring Jesus back into the sports conversation. That's what we feel like God has called us to do here at Sports Spectrum. We've been doing that for 36 years. This podcast is about 4.5 years old, but this ministry is a lot older than that. It started with a magazine back in 1985, and the goal has always been the same: to bring Jesus into the sports conversation. So check out sportspectrum.com for all of our content, articles, stories, podcasts, devotionals. It's all free, and it's available right there at sportspectrum.com. Sydney McLaughlin is one decorated athlete, and she is our guest today on Sports Spectrum. We are privileged to have her on. She is engaged to Andre Lavroni Jr. back in late August of 2021. I say that because Andre was a guest on this podcast a year ago, and now we get to have Sydney on the show to kind of share about her journey with Andre, certainly her Olympic journey, and talking about winning that gold medal and kind of what that's been like the last few months since being a two-time Olympic gold medalist. But really, it was her faith and her boldness on the biggest stage to proclaim the name of Jesus that really intrigued me. And Sydney's been somebody I've wanted to talk to for a while. We actually had communicated before the Olympics, and you know, she's obviously preparing for an Olympics, so it got a little busy. But I think it's been even better that we were able to connect with her now, where we can look back and see what God was doing and what God is continuing to do in Sydney's life. We talk about her faith, we talk about Bible studies, we talk about identity. Man, identity is so big. She also shares about a vision in the next 5 or 10 years that her and Andre might be partaking in as far as ministry. So take a listen to Sydney McLaughlin. She was fantastic, and she joins us here today on Sports Spectrum. Hi, Sydney. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Jason.
Absolutely. It's great to connect with you. Great to talk with you. We're so glad that you're here. Congratulations, obviously. You had quite the summer, which we'll be talking about in a second. It's been a few months, I guess, since, you know, the world watched you break records and win gold medals in Tokyo. I'm curious, just thinking about having those medals, how many times have you broken those out when you have people over hanging out or even in doing appearances, right? You kind of have to wear the gold medals when you go out and meet people and do these appearances or speaking engagements. What's that been like for you the last few months?
Absolutely. It's been crazy. I've actually brought them out a lot, honestly. A lot of family, just wanting to see them, wanting to hold them. And it's funny now, like you try to make a reservation at a restaurant and they're like, oh, can you bring the medal too? So I'm like walking around at restaurants with the medals. And I was like showing my security guard and she was like, do you just carry this on you all the time? And I was like, no, I really don't. But it's kind of just part of it now. You know, people want to see it, which I totally get. It's an awesome opportunity to be able to share that with people. So
what was your favorite moment from when you think back to the Olympics? There was a lot of great moments and many of them that we all saw. Do we have one that maybe we didn't get to see that was one of your favorite moments, kind of just being there and having this opportunity?
It's a great question. Honestly, for me, I think it was kind of just seeing Allison, one of my training partners, most decorated female track and field Olympian, you know, break that record of Carl Lewis's and get her 11th medal, which was just insane. And being able to physically hand off the baton to her on the relay. It was such a cool experience to be a part of and kind of like the passing of the torch. Growing up watching her, it was just such an honor to be able to be a part of her final Olympics, you know? So for me, that was super cool.
Yeah, that was a great moment for all of us to watch too. Yeah. And such a cool thing to experience. So August was a pretty good month when I was doing my research and looking back, and you forget all that took place because you win the gold medals, obviously. You had a birthday that took place, 22nd birthday, where you got to get a medal on that day, and you got engaged to Andre. So it's maybe the best August ever, right, Sydney?
I like don't know how I'm ever going to do better than what took place in the month of August. Like, I'm like, how do you, it doesn't get better than that, literally.
I know, it's amazing. What was that like? I know Andre, we had on this podcast. So for a little bit of a backstory, Andre LeVron Jr. was on this podcast about a year ago. I had no idea. I don't even know if you guys were dating at that time. I presume you were, but I don't know that. Had no idea of the connection. Andre and I had connected through a Bible study that the NFL had put on with our friend Christina, who I know you know, and she was also on this show. And talking to Andre, there was no inkling or hint about, you know, talking about you. It was really about his story. And then I watch and I see you having your accomplishments and there's Andre. And I'm like, I know that guy. So it was so cool to kind of connect with him and then see him connected with you. Mm-hmm. Tell me about him and just, you know, making that decision to say yes. I mean, that's a big deal to get married and find the guy that you want. What's he meant to you?
Honestly, meeting Andre is like one of the best things that has ever happened to me. Beyond being such just an amazing friend, he's such a great man of God. And truly, he's helped me in my walk and has always constantly encouraged me in that. And it's been such an amazing thing just to have him as an example of what it means to live a life like Jesus. And truly, that's what attracts me to him the most. And meeting him over this past year, I don't think I would have honestly been able to have some of the success that I've had just in terms of previous years, how I've helped like handled pressure and sports and track. You know, he's truly been such an encouragement in that area. And it was a no-brainer for either one of us. Like, you know, we knew the intention pretty early on and it was just about kind of putting the steps in order. And, you know, I love him. He's my best friend and we're just super excited to see what God's going to do through both of us moving forward. So
that's great. Do you guys have a date? Are you planning on like already having that in place or is it kind of like still a process here?
So it's really hard right now with wedding venues just because normally people wait over like a year to get married, but we're looking next May just because it kind of works with everybody's schedule. So we're thinking May of 2022 right now, still figuring out where, but you know,
Enjoy the process of planning because that's a fun process. And I hope Andre kind of stays out of it because that's what I did with my wife. I said, you have your dream wedding. I'll stay out of it, whatever you want, and we'll make it work. But enjoy that process for sure. You said that he was an example for you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. What does that mean as far as when you see him, he's what you envision being as Christ-like as you could hope for. What does that mean when you say that?
You know, I truly feel that Andre is a man who fears the Lord, and all of his actions, not just his words, but also his actions reflect that. And he truly is a man of character, and everything that he does, he makes sure it aligns with Jesus and what he would have done. And I think that's such a noble thing to do, especially in today's age where it's not very common to be a Christian. It's not very common to walk out that lifestyle, but to not be afraid of what culture thinks and to truly abide in that and truly live that out is like, it's rare. And it's yeah. truly amazing for me. And it's been awesome to just see how, you know, things that I personally thought in my life growing up were right or were just my way of doing things truly didn't align with him. It didn't align with the Bible. And it's been amazing to kind of just grow and see, you know, him lead by example and be able to see transformations in myself through that.
Tell me about your encounter with Christ, because mm-hmm. I know it's kind of been a real shift for you, especially these last few years. And I've been really fascinated reading about you, but not really knowing what's truly taken place, because quite honestly, not a lot of people are going to ask you a question that I'm going to ask you, which is why we love our platform. But I would love to hear kind of how the Lord became real to you. I think it's more recent, but I'd just love to hear the story.
Absolutely. I grew up in a Christian household. I went to church every Sunday. My parents raised us on biblical principles. And for a long time, you know, I always knew that God existed and I knew that he definitely played a big role in my life, but there was no relationship. And honestly, for me, I didn't even understand the importance or the purpose of Jesus in how all that played out. So it was a lot more of religious, just right and wrong versus true relationship and connection and intimacy. So for a long time growing up, I viewed being a follower of Christ as you can't do this, you can do this. These are your restrictions and limitations of what's good and what's bad. But I didn't think there was any freedom in that. And I was afraid that in doing that, I would be handing over my individuality and my identity. So I kind of put that off and just walked in the world and lived a very secular life. And it never fulfilled me. It never sustained me. And I could vividly hear God in a couple instances just be like, are you done? Like, are you ready to give your life over to me? Are you ready to let me have control? And I would literally tell him no. Because I wasn't sure that in doing that, it would turn out the way that I wanted it to turn out. And, you know, God can't force you to do anything. He can't force you to love him. And so I kept walking that road till I got to a point where I was just very depressed and very low and desperately like searching for some sort of purpose, because a lot of it was wrapped up in track. A lot of it was wrapped up in relationships. And none of those things ever worked out or sustained me to the point where during COVID, I had no choice, truly just in the house by myself. I had to look in the mirror and decide like, what are you doing? You know? And I found a lot of comfort and peace in starting to watch sermons, starting to read the Bible, things that I didn't normally do on a daily basis. And over time, kind of just building that relationship, I had people from my church out here who would do Bible studies with me. And then even Andre inviting me to the NFL Bible study and just getting in community with people who I truly saw living in that freedom and in that joy that Jesus brought, over time, truly introduced me to the concept to the point where then I was able to build my own relationship with Jesus. And it wasn't, I mean, I think the verse that really kind of just transformed my life was basically Colossians chapter 3, in total, that really just kind of opened my eyes. And I was like, wow, like, this is it. This is what you've been looking for. And ever since, truly being able to live a life that's led by him and understanding his love for me that sustains me more than anything secular in this world, has given me a new perspective on everything. And I know that it's a constant journey, but definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. So,
wow, that's beautifully said. And I thought watching you on the biggest stage this year, you lived out that faith so wonderfully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is the biggest stage. You win gold and you give glory to Christ, right? And it's wonderful. But I'm wondering for you, leading up to that, how intentional that was for you in the sense of, you know, you're training so hard and obviously mm-hmm. you want to finish the way you finished, and some don't and some do. But was there a moment where you thought, okay, I know if whatever happens here, I want to, on this platform, if somebody puts a microphone in my face, give glory to God?
I was thinking about that before the trials, honestly. That was a lot of how I prepared for those meets, was getting off social media, being in the scripture every single day, the day of listening to worship music, reading scripture, praying with my friends. And I would actually sometimes think about, like, okay, if you cross the line today and they ask you to do an interview, what is it going to be in relation to giving the glory to God? So a lot of it was just, I didn't know what was going to happen in the race, but I knew where my intentions were and when I spoke. So that's the only thing I really could control in those moments, is regardless of what happens, whether you win or lose, they're going to ask you about it. And you're going to say the reality, like, God gave me the opportunity to be here, and I'm really grateful for that. And all the glory is for Him, regardless of what happens. So I'm super grateful that it happened to be a win and a world record. But even if it was a loss, it would have been the same thing, you know? And that's what brought a lot of peace for me.
Did you have peace at all when you were 17, when you were going into the Olympics and so young, and you're on Sports Illustrated's mm-hmm. cover, and you're the National Female Athlete of the Year in high school, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago? Did you have peace then in your mind, in the way that you're describing peace right now?
No, honestly, I was truly just living moment to moment, not sure what I was doing. And I didn't have any sort of security or I didn't have any security or any sort of, honestly, identity at that time. And a lot of it was just, well, if I don't perform well, everybody's going to be mad at me. These people aren't going to like me anymore. This, that, and the third. So I was truly living for people as opposed to living for God. And that brought so much more fear and anxiety than was even necessary. So at the age of 17, I can't even remember. That's how, like, traumatizing it was. Just this immense internal weight of having to do this, not for the right reasons. It was for everybody else. And it wasn't even for me. Forget me. It wasn't for God. So,
Yeah, I want to go into that identity issue a little bit, because there was this video, very emotional Instagram video that you posted a few months back, and you talked about playing for the approval of people versus playing for God. And there was other stuff in there too, but I was really focused on that identity issue and how, I mean, that is a real issue with so many athletes, that, especially athletes that we talk to on this show, because you're so caught up in approval and accomplishment and people patting you on the back and telling you you're this and that. And then if you say something or do something out of turn, they turn your back on you like that. And it's like, there's so much about this identity issue that I think so many athletes struggle with. Describe what wrestling with that tension was like for you.
I think for me, the first step was understanding where it all came from. And a lot of it growing up is, much of my support and much of the praise that I got was performance based. So then as I developed, I believed that in order to receive love and in order to receive any sort of attention, I needed to perform, and I needed to perform at the highest level possible. And, you know, I don't think that social media helps in that regard nowadays, in terms of just giving people praise when they accomplish super great things. Because on the flip side of that, when you're not receiving that praise, now you're affected emotionally and internally for things that are outwardly happening to you. And the minute I realized truly that, you know, obviously it's very easy to understand that the things of this world are constantly changing and people's opinions of you are constantly changing. But in truly diving deep into scripture and just coming to the realization that God's love for you will never change, regardless upon how you perform or not perform, it truly just renewed my mind to understand that at the end of the day, as long as I am giving 100% of what I have to him, the rest doesn't matter. And I've been telling people all year, for a long time, track was who I thought I was. I thought I was a track athlete. I thought I was a social media influencer, whatever that means, and all these things. But it's now more than ever, I've understood that first and foremost, I'm a child of God. And track is not who I am. It's just what I do. And it's the opportunity he's given me to bring all of the glory back to him. And ultimately, the lessons that he's taught me through it, I can now use as my testimony.
Sydney McLaughlin is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. I do want to ask you about that opportunity that you had to point people to Christ and being on the biggest platform and the biggest stage there is at the Olympics and winning gold and setting world records. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine when you take a stance for Jesus, there could be people that go against you, but there can be a lot of people that might be encouraged by hearing your testimony. I'm wondering if you have a story or if an opportunity arose where you were able to share your faith and you saw someone else see that you were sharing it and they became interested in learning more about Jesus. Did you have an encounter like that or an experience like that?
Absolutely. I've gotten a lot of messages just about, you know, can you post more content about your faith and about your walk? And people who just, you know, like Andre always says, you don't know what you don't know. And I think a lot of people genuinely just do not know. And they're so hungry and thirsty for more of it that it's truly an opportunity to be able to share with them the things that I've learned and I'm, you know, continuing to learn. But one particular story, about a month ago, I received an email that my agent had forwarded me from a young girl in South Africa who is a track athlete. And, you know, she said she was struggling, just trying to figure out her career and whatnot. But she said, you know, seeing me post about my faith and the things that God has transformed in my life, aside from track, but truly just in my heart and my relationship with him, has inspired her and encouraged her to want to get to know him. And that for me was like so encouraging, just to know that there's a lot of people that want to have some sort of relationship with God and they just don't know how to start, or they don't know much about him because it's not talked about. And so being able to me myself, like not have a whole broad amount of knowledge or wisdom, but know the things that I've learned personally in my walk, just being able to share that and inspire somebody, it's super encouraging. And I definitely want to continue to be able to do that for people because, you know, something I really wish people would have done more, you know, when I was younger, for sure.
And on the flip side, when you're this very famous person, if you will, I hate that word, but you know, influencer, people know who you are. That's where you get pushback as well. How have you been able to kind of handle that? Because taking a stance for Christ is very bold and it's commended. Obviously, I love it as a person of faith and what we do at Sports Spectrum, but that's not everybody's cup of tea. And there's a lot of animosity that a lot of people have towards that. How have you kind of been able to kind of handle that? And maybe the difference between handling that now versus, you know, even a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
You know, there's been a lot of talk that I've received just about, you know, you may not want to talk so much about that. You might lose endorsements, you might lose deals, this, that, and the third. But I mean, I don't live for the approval of people, so I don't have to worry about any of those things. And even if an endorsement or something wants to leave, I know that God will provide for me in the way he sees fit. So I'm not going to compromise the truth just to make people feel more comfortable. And also in that, I know that when people do reject it, they're not rejecting me, but they're rejecting the truth. And that's kind of why I'm like, you know, it's okay. And I don't take it personally. Because at the end of the day, that's a realization everybody has to come to on their own time. And that's their own revelation. So, you know, I continue to speak the truth because I know it's what I'm called to do. And and just grateful to have community around me that supports me through that, even if all the people outside of that don't, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a really good perspective on it. What is faith like in the sport that you're in? It feels like there's quite a few people, quite a few believers in that space, but I don't know, obviously being on the outside looking in, what is that like for you in the sport that you're in?
Yeah, absolutely. I learned this year that there's actually such a big group of believers. And I've like noticed it over the years, but I think I've just been more attentive to it now more than ever. Mm. And even during the Olympics, the day before the first day of competition, they actually had kind of like a Zoom Bible study for anybody who wanted to be on it. And it's been really cool. Just within the sport, people that I've never actually even talked to through sharing my faith have just come to life and reached out and had conversations. So it's been really encouraging just to see the amount of believers and faith-based groups in track and field. And I think it's an awesome space to possibly be able to have a track-wide Bible study moving forward or have discussions and devotionals at track meets. And it's been really amazing because I know a lot of sports aren't like that. So being able to be a part of one that is very encouraging.
Yeah, I know a guy who could probably lead it too, meaning your future husband, because I've seen him leading Bible studies on Instagram, and he's been a part of leading some of the things that I've been on Zoom. And I'm like, okay, this guy isn't just a former football player. He's a guy who's, he might be a pastor someday, Sydney.
that is actually in our plans, you know, in the next, at least the next 5 to 10 years, starting a church somewhere. And he's definitely called to pastoral leadership. So I'm super excited for that part and time in his life. I know that's definitely something he's very passionate about, and I'm very excited to support him in that. So,
oh, that'd be great. So I have two questions left for you. The first one is, what is your Bible study sort of rhythms look like, your time with the Lord now? Because now is a time where it sounds like you're still training, but your next big event is the Worlds, which is in 2022 in the summer. But I have to imagine, being the elite athlete that you are, that you're always training. But how do you kind of find around that training those rhythms to make sure your time with the Lord is intentional each day? What's that look like?
Absolutely. I do a lot of my reading in the morning, whether it's just even starting off with a quick just one verse or something and watching a little video with it. Just to get the day going, constantly throughout the day, listening to praise and worship music. That's like the only thing I listen to now. And if I do a deeper reading of a chapter or even diving into a couple verses, that's like later at night for me, right before bed, just because that's when I feel like I'm the most attentive and awake for sure. And in addition to that, you know, Andre actually started a Bible study called The Remnant, and there's 12 of us. And every Monday we meet for about 2 hours, and Andre leads most of them, and we dive deep into scripture and constantly learning new things. So it's just been awesome and encouraging just to have a fellow group of believers around my age group who, you know, even if we all have busy schedules, we're constantly encouraging each other, sending each other scriptures or sermons that we can listen to throughout our days, because all of our schedules are pretty busy.
No, I would imagine very busy, but that's good. That's important to make that time. And I think that's important for people listening to understand that busy isn't an excuse to not get in God's word or to not spend time with him. We hear that a lot. I'm so busy. But I don't think God's looking at us and saying, well, okay, you're busy. Maybe tomorrow we'll spend some time together.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad to hear that from you. My last question, we asked this to all of our guests. I think I asked Andre this as well. What is God teaching you right now? Like, what is he showing you today? It feels like every day is a new lesson from him. But right now, where you're sitting, where you're at, Sydney, what's he been showing you and teaching you?
Wow. Yeah, I think honestly, God's been teaching me just the simplicity of his love and his grace. Truly, I've had like just revelation at dinner the other night about Jesus and just like how much he loves me. Mm. And to the point where like I literally was just like smiling maybe for like the next 12 hours, just because it truly just hit me that his love for me surpasses any knowledge that I can have right now, more than any human, more than any, you know, anything in this world. And the amount of just peace I felt that, you know, Christ as being the bridegroom is going to one day come back for me, and has already cleansed me and washed me and made me clean. There's just so much beauty in that. And I just, the grace, the immeasurable amount of grace that he's shown me that I do not deserve. It's just been amazing to just sit in the simplicity of God's love. And I think it's been very enjoyable just to feel that. And then as an overflow of the love that I've received, be able to share that with others around me, such as Andre. So.
No, that's good. Well, tell Andre we said hello. Absolutely. And thank you so much for agreeing to come on and sharing your story with us here at Sports Spectrum. We hope to get you back on again sometime soon, Sydney. All the best to you, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And a big thanks to Sydney McLaughlin, the decorated two-time USA Olympic gold medalist, the track and field athlete, who is a world record holder. We appreciate Sydney for sharing her story today on Sports Spectrum, and I really love the posture that she carried, if that makes sense, during this entire conversation. You could just sense that she wanted to share her story, but she really wants to point people to him, to Jesus. And I love that. And I loved where God has taken her from to where he's taken her to. I love that she grew up with a foundation of faith. And for that, that's something that you can never take away, but that she kind of had to discover and find Jesus as hers, her own relationship, and not just this relationship that maybe somebody else presented to her, or even just a surface level trusting in God, but a deep relationship with the Savior. And I love that Sydney has kind of shared that with us, but also is moving forward in a way where she's just resting in his love. If you could have seen this interview, you would have seen the big smile on her face at the end when she was talking about how she was just smiling, thinking about how much God loves her. And I was smiling too, because I think that's a great reminder for all of us that Jesus's love knows no ends. And it's just a beautiful thing when you think about how much God loves us, that he sent Jesus for us to atone for our sins. So it's a beautiful thing. We're grateful to Sydney. And we know a lot of you may have never heard of Sports Spectrum until today, because you might have tuned in because it was Sydney McLaughlin who was our guest. So we just want to welcome you. We want to say thank you for checking us out. If this is the first time that you ever listened to Sports Spectrum or heard about us, do us a favor. Click that subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to so that you can never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum. This is what we do. We bring Jesus into the sports conversation. We talk to athletes and coaches, broadcasters, authors, writers, all sorts of people on the intersection of sports and faith. And so we're thankful that you tuned in and checked us out. You can also check out our website for all sorts of free resources, including articles and devotionals and podcasts. SportsSpectrum.com is the home place to go if you're looking for more details and more information, maybe even more resources that come with Sports Spectrum. We look at ourselves as a media ministry. And so we are in ministry. We want to point people to Christ, but we're also media. And we have podcasts and devotionals and articles and stories and interviews that we do. But really, our goal, as we've said over and over, is to point people to Christ and bring Jesus into the sports conversation. So thank you again for tuning in. We love all of you guys. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Again, my name is Jason Romano. If you want to reach me, you can email me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And tune in next time right here on the Sports Spectrum Podcast. Have a great rest of your day.